So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
That's the beginning of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. The civil rights activist, whose birthday was celebrated yesterday, actually came to Fresno in the summer of 1964 to lead a march for fair housing conditions for African Americans. And the person who helped bring him here, Mattie Myers, was a tenacious fighter for equal education in the Valley. She died in 2017, but her son Earl Myers Jr. still lives in Fresno. Our news director, Alice Daniel, spoke with him about his mother's legacy. You may recognize his baritone voice. Myers gives a much-anticipated free annual Christmas concert at the Fresno Westside Seventh-day Adventist Church every December.
Earl, your mother, Mattie Myers, she lived a very long time. She lived to the age of 92, and she achieved so much in her lifetime. She was head of the NAACP in Fresno. What was maybe one of the things she did as head of the NAACP?
When she was president of the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, her priority was to bring awareness and a focus to the conditions in West Fresno, the lack of fair education in the school district. I remember her bringing home books from Edison High School. They were old, tattered, outdated. I mean, I remember her, you know, laying those on the dining room table, and you know, just look at this. And it wasn't fair. And what was happening is that when the district was finished with the school books in the other parts of town, in the north part of town, they shipped all of those used, outdated books over to West Fresno.
So tell me, what were some of the steps she took to try to change that?
And the NAACP, under her direction, gave this big banquet. You know, it was an effort to bring people together so that they could see, you know, what the problem was. When she tried to do this, you know, she faced a lot of opposition. They just said, you know, the problem doesn't exist. We don't need she had all sorts of opposition.
And how did she handle the opposition?
My mother was a very fierce fighter. She didn't back down from anyone. I mean, no one. I don't care who it was. I remember being out here in Clovis. She had to speak out here one time, and my dad did not want her to go. She went anyway. I went with her. And I remember walking into the news station just not too far from here, and I remember you could cut the air with a knife, you know, because there was so much hostility when she walked into the room. And she did not back down. She said, this is not fair. This, de facto segregation is not fair. It's being practiced in our schools, and it has got to go.
So she became friends with Martin Luther King, and then she brought him to Fresno to lead a rally around fair housing conditions and de facto segregation. And how did that march go? And also, did you meet Martin Luther King?
I did meet Martin Luther King. And when the march was over, a reception was given for him at a little tiny church on Church Avenue and Holly. I don't recall the name of it, but I think the little church is still there. But that's where I met Martin Luther King. And he didn't stay very long. You know, he came here, he did the march, he spoke. They had the reception, and I, as I remember, you know, he was on his way to the plane that, that evening.
Did he strike you as someone who had an oversized personality?
You know, I didn't perceive him like that. He was just, he was an ordinary looking person, but when he spoke, what came out of his mouth was what was impressive. And my mother was the same way. My mother was just, you just didn't fool her. I mean, we didn't fool around with her at home. When my mother spoke, I mean, you did what she told you to do.
So Earl, your mother, Mattie Myers, she didn't grow up in Fresno. She grew up in North Carolina. So what was that experience like for her growing up in the 1930s in rural North Carolina?
She was made aware at a very early age the differences between black and white. You know, she was witness to her father, my grandfather, going to work every day knowing that she might not see him again.
And when you say might not see him again, because of the lynchings that were happening at that time?
Yes. The lynchings, or in the case of any black man, if you looked at a white woman, or you looked at, if they just wanted to shoot you, they would, you could be killed at any time.
I noticed you've got this book out that has pictures and articles about your mother, and one of them says to close Edison High, and that was in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Do you think that her efforts made Edison a better high school today?
The fact that Edison High School has the program that it has now, that it is a magnet school, where children from north side of town can come to West Fresno, to get like a more advanced education, are all the result of the efforts that she put in. I don't think she really wanted to close Edison High School. My mother couldn't close Edison High School the way people thought. She could just go over there and just close it down. But she was trying to bring awareness to the fact that this is not right over here. This is below the standard of education.
Were politicians afraid of her because she had such a great ability to speak, and she was fiery, and she wasn't afraid of other people?
I know that the city officials were. For lack of a better way to say it, I just know you didn't mess with Mattie Myers. You didn't fool around with her. And people who, if you were going to take her on, and there were men who would try to take her on, they were no match for her.
So what would you say was her greatest accomplishment?
My mother's greatest accomplishment. I've heard her said that she was always proud of her five children. She was always proud of her five children. Now, my mother and my father, they both sacrificed a lot. Our family life was compromised because my mother was in civil rights. I remember our house being under surveillance by the FBI. The FBI cars were parked across the street. They monitored everything that we did when we went to school, when my dad left to go to his medical practice, whenever my mother, we were followed.
And you're only being watched because your mother cared so much about equal rights for all, and she wanted to make sure that African-American kids got the same kind of education that other kids did, and yet you've got this the most powerful institution looking through your window.
Right. And it was just very, very scary. I mean, you know, I didn't even know what the meaning of FBI was until, you know, my mother and my dad, but particularly my mother, you know, would sit us down and she would tell us. It wasn't a secret, but I know for me, it was very, very scary because being the oldest, I didn't know what would happen if something happened to my mother and my father. You know, but I was saying this to say that she sacrificed even her family to do what she did. So maybe that would be her greatest accomplishment in serving the people of Fresno.
I'm just wondering, as an African American man today, do you feel like things have changed that much, or do you feel that this country still has a long way to go?
You know, a lot has been accomplished, but we're not there yet. We're a divided country, and you see now all of the subtleties of racism. They're starting to come back now, and it's because of what people say and how they act. And this arouses in other people those feelings that you thought were gone. You know, the work is, as Martin Luther King said, we still have a long way to go.
Earl Myers, thank you so much for talking with me today. I've learned so much about your mother and the amazing work that she did.
Thank you.